Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. And when I say welcome back, I mean, like, welcome to Dom. This is the Hump Day Hawks Hangover Edition. How are you feeling, my good friend?
I'm feeling all right, man. A little bit of a late night last night. A little bit tired today. But some great news over the nighttime. Kansas, the abortion ruling. So I'm actually pretty fired up right now.
Up all night. Sleep all day,
like Slaughter style.
You know, I was up bright and early. I was a road warrior today. Drove all around the great state of Wisconsin. Came back just to do a little radio show with you for
nice
our beloved audience. We got Evan in the world headquarters. He is lightly screening the calls. You can always join this big program. Sometimes we even take your calls at 844-967-2789. I saw some other intriguing headlines. Like the fact that the former White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, was under DOJ subpoena, Dom. Although I didn't know how to spell it. Subpoena, that's a tricky one for me, as I've never actually been presented.
Like yesterday. I don't like that word, yesterday.
Well, not just Pat Cipollone, Patrick Philbin, his minion, also Crudy, subpoena.
So I've got a subpoena for Pat and an endorsement for Eric.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Dom, there's other big news and luminaries in the neighborhood. Well, we got Mike Pence roundtable and for Becky Clayfish in Pewaukee today, do we not? Yeah. How could Mike, that not be the lead?
Mike had to slide in. You know, hang Mike Pence coming to Wisconsin today, sliding in to get the quick endorsement, quick little presser for former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish running for governor. Had to slide that one in before Trump comes to town on Friday for Tim Michaels. Now, I did notice, Crudy, some reporting in the social medias, perhaps it was Molly Beck from the Journal Sentinel, that because Trump is coming on Friday for Tim Michaels, that his later August appearance, August 20th, I believe it was scheduled for.
That's not it.
The American Freedom Tour, whatever, is now going to be canceled. So they're going to honor those tickets on Friday now? So I'm not clear what's going on.
So if you gave us money to attend an event, we'll allow you to attend a free event on Friday at the Waukesha Fairgrounds.
I'm sure there's going to be
some actually refunding your
VIP
money.
Areas, you know.
Were they going down to the farmer's market with us? What do you mean the VIP
area? We'll have to find out. I have some reporting on it. We'll see if I can dig it up here over the break.
Well, I will be in the show on Friday for the big occasion, the former coming to town. I tell you what, at least if I feel sufficiently rested, not washing my hair or otherwise detained, Dom, but
of course,
I intend to be at the Trump rally in Waukesha. And that was a point of contention during the after hour rager last night. You and I argued it ad nauseum on that topic, Dom. Are you joining me for the Trump rally?
Yeah, you know, we'll see. We put in four press credentials. Did you check this morning? Have we been approved?
No, I didn't check. I was up. You know, I told you I road
for me, Crudy, it'll be a game time decision, man.
Game time. Aren't they all?
A little bit here, according to WISN.com, President Trump was supposed to appear at the American Freedom Tour scheduled for August 20th at the UWM Panther Arena. But in a statement to WSN 12 News, organizers say the event is being postponed to a later date to accommodate President Trump's rally on August 5th in Waukesha.
Lack of ticket sales.
County Fairgrounds. We would like for you to show your support of President Trump, former President Trump, by attending the rally this coming Friday. The statement adds that, quote, a special entrance is being designed for those who have tickets for the American Freedom Tour. You will be receiving tickets by email for the rally to be held on August 5th by Thursday. We apologize for any inconvenience, and we hope you will be able to support President Trump on August 5th at the rally. I don't see anything here about a refund.
A refund on your up to $4,000, your investment?
Yes.
You're not going to get a refund. There'll be no refunds.
Well, what if someone, you know, wanted it, but can't go? They're out of town. They're, you know, they're traveling, whatever the case may be. It'll be interesting to see how all that flushes out.
You're still going to be SOL. They've already spent your money. You know, that's the one thing. The grifter doesn't get back the money.
Down. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Get your money back at the door.
No, but you have a special entrance. I mean, what else do you want? A different date, special entrance, we'll keep in your money.
Well, here's the deal. The special entrance means what? No magnometers? No metal detectors? Like, hey, bring, you know, come, you're a VIP. You can bring whatever
bring your
you want.
Guns.
Cannolis or whatever. So anyways, I am less impressed by the rescheduling in deference to the big rally this weekend. Because I think the big problem is lack of ticket sales, right? Otherwise,
yeah, I would assume so. I mean, if he was making money hand over fist on the deal, he'd come back and cash those checks.
He's more likely to cancel on Michaels and keep the paid date, right?
Right. But Michaels did step up, Crudy. We talked about Tim Michaels during the recent GOP town hall. None of the candidates, Michaels, Ramjam, or Clayfish, would not commit to supporting Donald Trump if he runs in 2024. Well, he has put that one to bed. Tim Michaels tweeted out that in case, you know, the liberal media was wondering, yes, I will support President Trump if he runs in 2024.
When do you say that while you were on the stage with your opponent? You know, during the, town hall, the debate-style format, why didn't you say it then, Mr. Courageous? Did you find your courage, Lion? I mean, Michaels, really, you want us to believe now you endorse him. You want it both ways, right?
Of course.
You want it both ways.
Of course.
That or he got a threatening phone call from the, you know, let's call him the endorsee in chief. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I expect complete loyalty, Tim. And maybe an honorarium. Michaels gave him money? Do you think Michaels made a contribution to Trump for the endorsement?
Oh, I mean, given how transactional Donald Trump is, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I, of course, have no evidence thereof, but knowing how some of these folks roll, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Molly Beck did.
Said that, do you think he offered to take Michael's wife out furniture shopping later?
Oh, that'd be very nice of him. Molly Beck from the Journal Sentinel in Milwaukee tweeted out the lineup for Trump's rally in Waukesha. Of course, the aforementioned Tim Michaels, Trump's endorsed candidate for governor. Derek Van Orden, the insurrectionist himself, Trump's endorsed candidate for the 3rd Congressional District here in Wisconsin. Assembly Elections Committee Chairwoman Janelle Branjan. Oh, yes. And, of course, Curdy's new favorite buddy, Adam Steen, who's Robin Voss's, Speaker Voss's, primary opponent.
I'm very excited about that. Do you remember when Trump damn near endorsed Adam Neelan, I think it was, right? Who was the Nazi that ran against
Right,
Paul
right,
Ryan?
Right, yeah.
Hadn't been fully exposed as a Nazi at that point.
But, at that point, right.
You know, we actually went on a Sunday morning show, and he was there, Newman's old show, Capital City Sunday. And we met him there, and we invited him on the show. And seemed like a decent fellow. We didn't know at that point that he was a Nazi. But those true colors showed a little bit later in the primary, started tweeting some stuff out. And Trump came to, I believe we were at the Resch Center in Green Bay, Dom. And Donald Trump's in town, and it's right before the primaries. And there was some doubt in all the attendees' minds. Will Trump endorse this Neelan guy, or will he endorse Paul Ryan, the, you know, Speaker of the Assembly, the, 9-time incumbent. And, you know, he kind of held it close, held it tight, and then he pulled the envelope out of his pocket and read it. Like, and I will be endorsing. And then he, you know, like, I'm a little nearsighted these
days. Like, have the bad eyes. You got to hold it out far so you can see it.
Paul Ryan.
Paul Nealon was the guy. There is an Adam Nealon. Don't want to confuse. Paul Nealon was the one who had drawn some criticism for racist and anti-Semitic comments on social media. That was the guy we met.
And Adam Nealon's what, a state rep, a state senator, something like that?
Yeah, something like
Republican.
That.
Republican?
Yes.
Well, I apologize if I threw the wrong Nealon in the KKK sort of Nazi basket, but, you know, you shouldn't have to wonder, right?
In case you do.
In case you do. Here's what I take away from the big endorsement coming from Donald Trump. He endorsed Robin Voss's primary opponent. And you can think to yourself, well, Robin Voss is a big shot. He's the assembly, you know, leader. He's the caucus leader. He's the boss.
He's the boss, right? Yes, earned the name. He's been there for years and years and years.
But he is quite vulnerable, even if it's just a math problem, right? In the last primary election, Robin Voss's primary in 2020, he only received about 3,302 votes. 3,302.
And 3,302 votes.
And he ran uncontested. There were a few write-ins, a few Mickey Mouses and stuff, but effectively there was no other qualifying candidates on the primary ballot. And then he got on the general election ballot. And he won, you know, handily, 17%, but about 5,000 votes in the general. But the margin of victory in the general election was smaller than the entirety of the number of votes that Robin Voss got in the primary. 3,302 votes. Hell, there might be that many people listening to me right now that could theoretically vote in that district, Tom. And normally I'm not down for, you know, dark magic and strategery, you know, excepting the Rick Santorum vote I made many years ago. But as long as you don't cross over, I would strongly encourage those living in the 63rd Assembly District to take a good long, hard look at the ballot and go for that American patriot, the Trump-endorsed Adam Steen.
Oh, but what if he wins, man? He'd be worse than Robin Voss if there is such a thing.
But he would not be the Speaker of the Assembly. He'd just be another punk that got the job through gerrymandering and a little strategery. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. It's a Hangover Wednesday edition. Thanks for the hangover, Hawk.
Just because he says it doesn't make it true.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the phones anytime. We take all callers all the time. 844-967-2789.
Well, when we're damn good and ready, we get to them sometimes. Sometimes. Dom, you know, I was just sort of scrolling the screen, going through a little Facebook during the commercial break, and I see your girl, Vicky McKenna. Facebook thinks we should be friends. Slow down, Zuckerberg.
Easy on those algorithms, Facebook. You don't know everything.
You should hear what she says about the Zuckerbucks. And she's strapped in this photo, Dom. She's wearing like a black tracksuit, you know, looks sort of SWAT team-ish. Got a ball cap on, got the, you know, the Terminator shades. And then she's strapped. She's got like an AR-15 style, you know, little mini AR-15 around her neck.
Oh, how cute.
And she's got this look like Dominic on her face. So I'm gonna swipe left on that one. I'm just
not gonna mean it. You got enough right wing host friends, Curdy.
I have too many right wing host friends. Dom, you know, I would just wonder, is Vicky McKenna supporting the candidacy of Adam Steen? And shouldn't you also support the candidacy of Robin Voss's primary opponent, just like Donald Trump does.
It's the Wisconsin GOP is a mess right now. Where are the headlines? And someone mentioned this yesterday. I think it's a great point. Where are the headlines saying that the GOP mega is divided? It's in disarray. What's going to happen? The party is in turmoil. And it literally is. You got Pence in town today with Clayfish. You got Trump coming Friday for Michaels.
Proxy battle, baby. Proxy battle at high noon.
You got former Governor Scott Walker, you know, on Rebecca's side as well. Then you got, and of course, I'm assuming, I guess I haven't heard specifically what Robin Voss, if he has endorsed in the Republican GOP race. I'm not clear.
Yeah, Adam Steen, has. I think he's endorsing.
And of course, Adam Steen coming up against Robin Voss. They are in turmoil. We know that there should be much more reporting on what a crap show the WIS GOP and what the MAGA is in general.
Well, and if you think my little buddy Dominic's exaggerating, you didn't watch the Sunday night GOP gubernatorial debate. The loudest applause of the night came when Charles Benson, the moderator, asked a question of Ram Jam, also Dominic's buddy, gubernatorial third place contender Ram Jam.
Way down in third.
Started to ask him a question about his prior statement about wanting to punch Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in the nose. And before he could finish the question of the panelist of the gubernatorial candidate / amateur pugilist, the crowd cheered so loud they interrupted the moderator. It was the biggest applause line of the night. The thought that someone would punch Robin Voss in the nose. And I would say that makes the man quite vulnerable.
Well, it's right on right issues.
I'm not right on white violence?
Right on right, man. It's right on right. And that's righty, what happens.
Righty, whitey violence?
Yes. I mean, those are all conservative Republicans in that room, and they are cheering, just like they were cheering when they were watching Trump's goons ransack the Capitol. I mean, the loudest applause line was a threat of violence against a fellow MAGA, against a fellow Republican. That's what that party is, man. What a disaster. What a shame.
Shame. You know, shame. I think we got to start laying down some bets here, Dom. You know, some gentleman's waivers.
Oh, yeah. Wagers. All right, some friendly wagers. Like what do you think?
First and foremost, I think with the support of the Devil's Advocates radio audience, I think Adam Steen could be your primary winner coming out of Mount Pleasant. It just takes like 1,600 of you to make it so. So I'm cheering and encouraging those that, you know, don't otherwise have a dog in the Democratic primary any longer to, you know, cross over, go wait in, and consider voting for Adam Steen.
Now, I appreciate your thought there, Curdy, and if they're going to take some action, I'd say no, Steen's not going to win. So that's our friendly bet. But let me ask you, does Steen...
Voss is the Assembly Speaker and a longtime incumbent. Yes. I think you should give me like 3-2.
3-2. What's the money line, man? All right, 3-2, Crudy. You get it. You get some odds, man.
I got Steen, and you've got, you know, the incumbent Robin Voss.
No,
Dominic endorses Robin Voss. You heard it here first.
No, Steen. I'm just taking the action. I'm not endorsing anybody. I'd vote for the Dem. Who's running down there? Do we know who the Dem is and the general?
I don't know, but
all right.
When do the Packers play Detroit? Because I want that action.
But Steen is presumably, I don't know, I haven't, you know, studied the man's record, but from what the reporting I've heard, seems to be an election denialist. Of course, she's getting Trump's endorsement.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Says a lot. So presumably Steen would be a worse person than Robin Voss in the Assembly. Is that possible?
He would have zero power. He would have no power. You know, the difference is Robin Voss has like 14 staffers. Robin Voss has the power, you know, accepting the Janelle Branchon, Tim Rantham. And who's the third guy? Is it Witchgurse? I forget who got on board the decertify the election train. But Robin Voss is a very powerful man, perhaps the most powerful legislative Republican. If we can take out Robin Voss and replace him with some rookie green lawmaker, I'd still take it down. Because Adam Steen ain't going to get a seat at the strategery table. Know what I mean? And Robin Voss is there right now. So when you talk about making the policies, writing the budget, making committee assignments, those things are all Robin Voss's domain currently. Adam Steen doesn't get to assume those responsibilities.
Sure, not as
if he beats him in the primary.
As a rookie. So who does assume those responsibilities?
Well, I think you or I should, Don, but it doesn't work like that. But I have another wager for you. You know how Donald Trump, you know, the political kiss on the cheek, as is the custom when a female comes up on the stage. Well, who is the announced female guest? Janelle Branchon. Have you seen her? I'll bet you $5 Trump does not kiss that face. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. More wagering, perhaps. Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law. Shame. Shame.
Didn't mean to embarrass you, Mom.
Shame.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Actually, we got one foot into Friday. Because Donald Trump's coming to the great state of Wisconsin, darkening our doorstep, specifically coming to the Waukesha Expo Center. Now, we've got the station in Waukesha. We're going to cover it as the hometown station of Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM, the Shaw. So we'll be at the big rally. And, you know, we've started taking wagers on a few of the thoughts. Like, will Janelle Branchon put a big, wet, sloppy one on the former president, or vice versa? Like, you know, Trump did kiss your girl, Leah Vukmer, at the Mosini rally.
Yeah, night. Yes, he did.
She didn't hold her nose, not publicly. I bet she did, you know, sanitize later, Dom. So I'm taking no smooch with Janelle Branchon and the former president, as tempted as he might be. I don't think they're going to smooch, so I'm taking the no smooch. The over-under is one smooch. Dom, you want that action?
No, I do not. What about like an Adam Steen, you know, bro hug with Trump? You think? Because this is now
more
his
likely
new
Trump's going to
favorite
bro
patriot.
Hug a flag on the stage than Adam Steen.
No, you don't think so.
Not unless Adam
Steen. He might kiss Adam Steen, man. That's his new patriot. That's his man going after Robin Voss.
I suspect Steen will do all the kissing and it will be backstage. The ring and the ass, right?
Oh, man.
Now that he got the big guy's endorsement.
What a party in disarray.
Well, we were at a party of all the right reasons last night, Dom. They were actually voting and tabulating the vote in several states around the nation, including the state of Kansas. And, Dom, I woke up with a smile on my face bright and early this morning, despite the hangover, and looked at the results of Kansas.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit of a shocker. It was the first time post overturning of Roe v. Wade that, you know, the question of abortion was effectively on the ballot. And not like, hey, this is an abortion supportive candidate or an anti-abortion candidate. This was specifically the question of abortion on the ballot. And people turned out overwhelmingly, Dom. And they turned out to basically support women's reproductive and abortive rights. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do the Washington Post here, Crudy. As you mentioned, in what was the first direct test at the ballot box of attitudes about abortion since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June, Kansas voters on Tuesday strongly rejected a constitutional amendment that would have opened the path to stripping abortion rights in the state. Democrats pointed to the moment as the strongest evidence yet that the conservative-leaning high court's ruling and other efforts by Republicans to curb abortion rights would backfire politically on the GOP. It's time to reevaluate the conventional wisdom about the midterms after this vote in Kansas, wrote Senator Brian Schatz, a Democrat from Hawaii, on Twitter. People are mad as hell at having their rights taken away. Voter turnout was high in Kansas, a conservative state, a major surge during a midsummer vote, and in the eyes of many Democrats, the first major data point that abortion could prove to be a significant motivator in the fall. President Biden highlighted the vote on Wednesday. We have some sound from the president. We'll play that in a little bit. Saying that Republicans, quote, don't have a clue about the power of American women. Last night in Congress and Kansas, they found out. Now, weighed down by Biden's low approval ratings and rising prices, Democrats have been eyeing the fall campaign with trepidation, eager to tap into more favorable issues that motivate voters and vote for their candidates. After the Supreme Court ruling, many Democrats started reorientating their campaigns more heavily in abortion, framing their candidacies as bulwarks against GOP efforts to pare down reproductive rights. But until Tuesday, there were no indicators that such a strategy might be successful, as concrete as what has unfolded in Kansas. With constitutional right to abortion established in a row no longer applicable, abortion right activists are turning to ballot measures, state races, and legislative battles to protect and expand abortion rights on an ad hoc basis. Democrats and abortion rights activists, who are largely aligned with the party, are sounding increasingly hopeful notes. The two efforts can dovetail. Democrats are also trying to boost turnout and generate energy for House and Senate races, where many candidates are also touting efforts that would take at the they would take at the federal level, including trying to codify abortion rights. Still, it remains to be seen if Democrats can effectively connect abortion as an issue to the choice voters make between candidates in the fall. Most Republicans have sought to campaign on inflation and the economy, steering away from abortion when possible. They were much quieter on the issue than their Democratic counterparts in the aftermath of Tuesday's votes in Kansas.
Dominic, I wonder if there are any regrets in the, let's say, Wisconsin U.S. senatorial primary. If I were Sarah Godlewski, I'd definitely be having some second thoughts, some regrets, if you will. Now, she was a very close second place to Mandela Barnes at the Democratic Party convention. I mean, what? Mandela won by like 2 votes in the straw poll. And a 2-vote swing, and she could have caught momentum.
She was much farther behind in the polling.
Well, did anybody's polling suggest that this overvote was going to happen in Kansas last night? I mean, do you hear any tea leaves, any pundits saying, hey, watch Kansas, man, watch the people turn out and reject these Republicans? Because that's effectively what this was. It was a rejection of the anti-abortion, the anti-rights, the Supreme Court, and Republicans that would try to, you know, take away rights. But this was certainly not reflected, not to this mathematical number. Let me read a little of the turnout numbers from CNN. In Kansas, there was hardly a contest to speak of. The no coalition, the no would effectively, let me read as it's written here. The no coalition, which opposed a measure that would have removed abortion rights from the state's constitution, appears to be on track to win in a landslide. And it's no low turnout fluke. The overall vote count on the amendment eclipsed 169,000 votes as of midnight last night, Central Time. 169,000. Well, is that a lot? Let's compare.
869,000,
yes. Almost 900,000 votes. That figure exceeded Kansas's general election turnout in the midterm year of 2010. Remember, this is a partisan primary. This is not the general. Last night's figures exceeded the midterm year of 2010, was approaching the 2014 overnight total, and the overall primary turnout in the state 2 years ago, in the midst of the presidential, right, clocked in at just over 636,000. The 2018 midterm primary, the figure was 458,000. Almost 900,000 Kansans came out to vote last night.
New York Times has it at 940,000 as of this moment.
Well, they might have counted a few more ballots overnight. And interest in the ballot measure also heavily outweighed other big statewide contests on Tuesday, more than doubling the total votes cast in the Republican gubernatorial primary won by Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt, according to CNN's projection, with about 350,000 votes. And the Democratic turnout was even lower. Another sign that the abortion issue transcends party lines. Fewer than 250,000 people voted in the party's Senate primary, and only a few thousand more punched ballots for incumbent Democratic Governor Laura Kelly, who faces an uphill battle to win a second term. So, 250,000-ish voted in the Democratic primary, 350,000 voted in the, what, the GOP primary, and 900,000 people voted on the ballot referendum that overwhelmingly rejected the anti-abortion efforts.
So that math, 250 plus 350, my math says that's what?
700?
600.
700. Oh, maybe I'm bad at math. That's why we don't do math on the radio. So it was barely two-thirds.
But that's what I'm saying, though. So of the 940,000 people that vote, minus the 600,000, right? That means, what, 340,000 people stepped up to vote on this particular issue and did not vote down
as
ballot.
A standalone issue.
As a standalone issue. That is
any regrets, amazing. Sarah Godlewski? Because I didn't see this in the polling, right? You can't measure that level of engagement relative to prior elections. You might have known that the people favored this, but, you know, there was lots of money poured into this race.
But I hear your point. Millions. And certainly Sarah Godlewski running on this issue as the only woman that was in the race, very important to her, and she got some big endorsements in that regard. But if you look at the data coming from CNN coming out of Kansas, if we were to extrapolate that and apply that here, presumably lots of people would show up and vote on that one issue. Right now, it's not necessarily, we don't have a constitutional amendment on the ballot like this. It's not an apples to apples comparison. But if that mentality,
if that
mentality comes through, then people are going to step up to vote on that issue. How would you do it without a constitutional amendment? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe
you would show favor to a female candidate running in the U.S. Senate race.
Perhaps.
But of course, there's not one any longer. I think she bailed too early. I'm just saying, you know, ultimately it won't matter because it's all speculative and her name will remain on the ballot, talking about Sarah Godlewski. But, you know, everyone's, no offense to Peter Bukarski, Stephen Olakar, and the other qualifying candidates that are legitimately still seeking this nomination. But Mandela Barnes is going to get the nomination. I'm just saying there's no way that you and I sensed this going to Hawks Bar yesterday that people in Kansas were going to blow the doors off numerically, way beyond the polling, way beyond the engagement level predicted in the partisan primaries. She could have been a contender.
We have some sound of the president on this issue. Perhaps we go there. Then we'll get to the phone calls, 844-967-2789. Evan, you did the hard sound. What did President Biden have to say about the Kansas voters? Cut number 25, please.
In a decisive vote, in a decisive victory, voters made it clear the politicians should not interfere with the fundamental rights of women.
Let's keep on going. The powerful message, cut 26.
The voters of Kansas sent a powerful signal that this fall, the American people will vote to preserve and protect the right and refuse to let them be ripped away by politicians.
And, you know, obviously some Republicans had to vote in that regard as well. A couple more from the president. Cut number 27, please.
I wish I were with you in person, quite frankly, but I'm getting there.
Still recovering from the second bout of COVID. Roe got it right. Cut 28.
I believe Roe got it right. It's been the law for close to 50 years.
And I think a lot of people from Kansas agree with President Biden on that. Two more, cut number 29, please.
This executive order advances research and data collection to evaluate the impact of this reproductive health crisis is having on maternal health and other health conditions and outcomes.
President Biden signing that executive order. One more cut. Cut 30, please.
Executive order makes sure health care providers comply with federal law so women don't face delays or denials of medically necessary care.
So, I mean, that's very encouraging. Can we extrapolate from that? You know, I mean, it's to me, it's like, you know, when you put weed on the ballot here in the state of Wisconsin, lots of people showed up, even though it's a non-binding referendum. A lot of people showed up and engaged in that. And then also, you know, perhaps cast some votes down ticket as well. I'm hopeful, but every state's different. Every scenario is different. But if there's anything to be taken out from this, it's that, you know, there's lots of women, lots of people engaged on this issue. And hopefully it will come back and bite the Republicans in the ass.
Abortion is on the ballot this fall. I mean, Democrats, if you don't get that, If you can't message that, if you can't live that between now and Election Day, come on. This was the, what, the dog chasing the car. And the car stopped. And the car was the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And these Republicans, they better be careful what they wished for. Because this is going to have dire electoral consequences. Don, we've been talking about this. But this is the first evidence. This is the first analytics. The first demonstration of just how engaged Democratic voters, or at least those that favor reproductive rights for women, they are really fired up. And if it's not a referendum on the ballot, you're going to have to look a little harder and decide who represents what you want to have happen. The Democrats or the Republicans? Don't think too hard. It's the Democrats.
I'm on my way. And nothing is going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me.
And a 19 brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
With so much loss.
Percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Oh, life. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Hangover Edition. We'll go to the phones right now. CJ has been the most patient. Just for you folks hanging, turning off the radio right now, we mean the good CJ, the one from Beaver Dam. Welcome back, CJ. What do you got for us?
Hey, CJ.
Hey, fellas. Hey, I got a crook in my craw, and I know it's not Disgruntled Friday, but this Tim Michaels guy.
What cranks your gears about Tim Michaels?
I've got a direct relative that's been in my family for about six, eight years. He's been working for that corporation for over a decade, and he's maybe seen him twice a year because he says in his ad that he's owner of Michael's Pipeline or Michael's Corporation. That's absolutely false. He is a quarter because he has three older brothers that are also ownership after the Mr. Michael Sr. passed away. So he's already lying and directly in his ad.
Well, I'm sure the office girls in Connecticut see him quite a bit, CJ.
Well, no, CJ, you could be a stockholder, correct, but then they still elect the, you know, board of directors who will then hire, you know, the president and so forth. So he can be a shareholder and the president CEO at the same time.
But with four brothers myself, not a single one of them is going to let me be the CEO of the corporation before I get them dibs. So the gist that I get is he's the petulant child that always got the side projects for the past 20, 30 years. They'd always hand him the toy projects. Hey, get out of our hair, get out of our hair, get out of our hair. And so now they've ran out of toy projects. So they, well, go run for governor. We don't care what you do.
That's well, it's not the first time the man's run for something, CJ. Last time he unsuccessfully, I believe the Clayfish campaign was calling him 45% Timmy because he got 45% of the vote when he was defeated back in 04.
Correct.
The last time they gave him a little hobby, young Michaels.
Didn't work so successfully.
Well, and you know, well, he's certainly not an outsider, CJ. He's been on the peripherals of this and running, you know. I mean, he's a main contributor and engager in the Republican mega party.
He runs further away from the newscasters than Rojo does, faster and harder. But he doesn't answer any direct questions. And I thought Rojo was the fastest one.
But I'm on the phone.
You know, Scott Walker ran track in college, or maybe it was high school. I don't know if he made it through college.
I don't know. It's just a crook in my craw that you can lie directly in an ad. I can't believe his brothers wouldn't call him out on it.
But Mary Burke was accused of over-conflating her role with the Trek family business. And I kind of suspect young Tuesday. Master Lazary didn't do all the negotiations on the Pfizer for him.
The conservatives are going to feel a little bit more butthurt, just like I predicted during November of 19.
Hey, CJ, let me ask you, now that Donald Trump has come out and endorsed Assembly Speaker Voss's primary opponent, do you have any sense of what might happen? And if you were in that district, who would you vote for if you're going to, you know, play a few Republican mega games?
Ooh, I don't drink that enough Kool-Aid to do that, to even predict that. I try to stay away from
Steen is what you mean, CJ. Adam Steen or bust, man. You just say, yeah, I'd be strategic. I'd vote for, you know, I'd vote for Robin Voss's opponent.
Thanks for the call, CJ. Appreciate it, man. 844-967-2789.
Now, I think CJ's in the fifth CD, and a couple of people have considered running for that position. Tom Pelsiewicz was the fifth CD Democrat last time. That's Scott Fitzgerald territory. But I drove through the 6th CD today, Dom, and it's just freaking galling to me.
What's that?
That Grothman will not have a general election opponent.
I know, dude. Come on. Nobody? You know,
there's some moderate Republican that is primarying the man. And if, you know, I was a little more engaged in the last couple of days, I might have booked his primary opponent. But, you know, I got to be careful because you never know when the next Nealon's coming down the pike. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday, but you could be all aggrieved like it's Friday. I don't know. When I woke up this morning, Morning Joe had already been firing off Morning Joe on the MSNBC, Joe Scarborough. Morning Joe reacts to Kansas abortion stunner. In his words, voters repulsed by the radicalism of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And he used to be a Republican congressman. A little bit from the Raw story, MSNBC's Joe Scarborough reacted to the stunning rejection by Kansas voters of an amendment that would have allowed state legislators to ban abortion. The vote made Kansas one of the only red states where abortion remains legal. It's illegal here in the state of Wisconsin, folks. After the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, and the Morning Joe host said the results were a stunning rejection of the GOP's rapidly increasing radicalism. I quote Joe Scarborough, I think it's an example. A lot of people who identified themselves as pro-life, looking at what happened since Roe was overturned, Scarborough said, looking at the extremism, looking at the 10-year-old girl being chased from the state, looking at the Texas Attorney General fighting for the right to let mothers die on the operating table, to tear away the protections the federal government is trying to put in place to protect moms, to have a choice whether they die on an operating table or not. More from Morning Joe. You look at all of the extremities, and that's what he said. And now again, in another Republican state legislature, trying to give right to the members of a rapist family to sue a rape victim for $20,000 unless she has a forced pregnancy. Did you catch all that? Republican state legislatures want to empower the rapist to sue his victim if she tries to have an abortion. This, according to Joe Scarborough, is a rapist bill of rights that Republicans are passing. A rapist bill of rights for forced childbirth on children. Seems kind of stark when you put it like that, Joe.
Yeah, it sounds terrible when you say it like that.
A little bit more from Scarborough. This is the Republican Party in 2022. And even in a pro-life state, even in a Republican state that hasn't elected a Democratic president in 50 years, they are repulsed by the radicalism of this new Republican Party. Welcome to the party, pal, is what I would say. I've been repulsed by these Republicans. I think it started with Scott Walker. And let's not forget, all of this stuff, well, Scott Walker's been defunding Planned Parenthood all along. Scott Walker embraced him and Ron Johnson both. They were exuberant about the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Although, if you believe the reporting about Scott Walker, you know, his family pressured his college girlfriend at Marquette to abort the love child that was eventually born. And why would I say something like that on the radio? Because there is a college professor at the University of Minnesota that was in the delivery room, best friend of the girl that had the baby, Scott Walker's baby. And to this day, through legal counsel, she will defend that position as well, Crudy. Scott Walker, you probably got a love baby. Why don't you own it?